You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
C'est sur un dernier passing shot exceptionnel.
The French Open on In Play Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the French Open Tennis Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio with the presenter of English Radio Service in Paris, Nick Lester, on the line right now, ready to deliver his verdict ahead of the season's second slam. Looking forward to it immensely. First of all, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Nick Lester.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Looking forward to the season's second slam. Before we get stuck into it from a betting perspective, just give us an idea of what the atmosphere is like compared to the other slams we see all year round.
It's definitely unique. It's definitely a little more partisan at times. I think the French can be quite harsh, certainly with their own players, and perhaps if they feel that players aren't giving their best. It's a very squeezed Grand Slam is probably the way I would describe it geographically, because the grounds are very small compared to the others. I think it's actually in truth as well been left behind by the other three majors in recent times. They've had all sorts of issues with the planning permission to try and expand the grounds, and they've not been successful with. So they're playing catch up, to be fair, Dave, Roland Garros as a whole, because as a major, for my money, it's definitely some way behind the rest right now. I know, having been to Wimbledon very recently, that the plans they have in place there are fantastic for this year. I think it's going to be eye-opening for players and media in 2015 at Wimbledon. So they've got a bit of catching up to do, the French. There's no doubt of that. Certainly it's unique. It's different. It's crammed. It's busy. But I know certainly when you get some good matches on the outside courts, it's great.
Talk to us a little bit about court conditions as well, because we know we're on the red clay at Roland Garros, and occasionally the courts have been criticised for being a little bit too dry, and players have had trouble keeping their balance on the courts.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's been a little bit that way leading in this year, because there were quite a few issues with the court in Rome, Madrid as well. So, to be fair, if players come to Roland Garros, I actually think they'll find they're pretty good, given what we've just experienced. Rome last week was a disaster at times. Some organizer there had major concerns with the court. There were holes, there were chunks coming up in the clay. So I actually think, to be honest, Dave, these are probably the best clay courts we have in the world. They're very different. And the one factor that's actually different is the lines, which is a strange thing to say. But across the year on clay courts, the lines for the regular tour are actually different, and they're actually separated from the court. So you often see bad bounces when the ball catches the lines. But at Roland Garros, it's actually different. The lines are embedded into the clay. So therefore, when the ball hits the line at the French Open, it actually doesn't skid off quite as much as it does. Conditions-wise, well, again, a lot of that depends on the climate. You know, yeah. Roland Garros traditionally has been, we've had two separate, the last few years, certainly we've had two very different weeks. We've had wet and cloudy week one, and then a much warmer week two. So it varies a lot. The balls are fairly standard balls. They're fairly kind of heavy sort of balls. But at the same time, when the sun's out and it does warm up, it certainly will bake the surface, and that will make it a bit quicker. So that's the one thing I think from a betting perspective that you do have to consider with all tennis events, in terms of, especially I think Roland Garros, when the sun's out, it's going to be a lot quicker, the ball's going to be bouncing a lot firmer, and it'll be traveling through the air. When it's wet and cloudy and cold, the aggressive players are going to struggle. Players like Federer, who like to keep the points short, they're definitely the guys to oppose on a cold and damp day.
Let's get stuck into the men's side of the tournament, and we start off with the world's number one player. Novak Djokovic heads the betting here with William Hill, 5-6 odds on. And this slam, Nick, is the one that he covets most, because it's the one that will complete his set. And he's had an unbelievable season. I'm not sure we can call it the big four anymore, Nick. It's more like he's number one and the other three just feed off the scraps when he's not dining at the table, Nick, at the moment.
Well, Dave, he's won his last seven major tournaments that he's played. The last seven events on the ATP World Tour, dating back to October last year, the Shanghai Masters, when Federer beat him, Djokovic has cleaned up at the last seven, i.e. that's the World Tour Finals, that's every Masters that's been played. He has won the lot. So you're absolutely right. He's only had two defeats this year. One to Ivo Karlovic in Doha, which can be forgiven because Karlovic served him off the court, and the other one was to on a very quick surface in Dubai. So he has raised the bar, there's no doubt about it, this year. All in all, by far and the best player in the world. You know, in so many ways, he is a hybrid, I think, Dave, the more I see of him, of Nadal and Federer. He is a very much a mixture of the two. He has the defensive qualities of Nadal, but he also has the attacking instincts of Federer. He's been phenomenal. Again, he's also, in some ways, Dave, been very good without having to really go through the gears. And that, I think, is the scary part of this. You know, last week in Rome, he had a couple of troubles in the early rounds. But then in the semis and the final against Ferrer, in the semifinals and in the final against Federer, he was a mile ahead of both those guys. And when he really needed to up his levels, he did. The numbers are very similar to when he came in here a few years ago. Of course, 2011 was arguably the best year of his career. The statistics as far as his game goes, Dave, are almost identical to when he came in here. The one bonus is he doesn't have an in-form Nadal to contend with, and that is what makes him a firm favourite.
Are there any chinks in Novak Djokovic's armour? Can you see anything that other players can exploit leading into this major championship?
The only minor weakness he has is off the forehand side. The backhand is world-class, serves improved. In fact, his ace count this year is better than it was in 2011. That's one of the areas of his game that he has improved. Under Boris Becker, he started to move in a bit more. Dave, he's definitely finishing a few more points off at the net. But the forehand side is the only minor weakness. And occasionally, if you can serve there heavily, you will get a few short balls, and that will allow players to dictate. But he's a player, for the most part, that really doesn't have a weakness. You know, it's so tough, and I've had this conversation with a lot of co-commentators in the last few weeks, to devise a game plan against this guy, because in every area of the game, he covers the court so well, he's able to be aggressive, he's moving in more, he's serving well. There are so few areas of his game. He is rock solid. Unforced error counts have been extremely low this year as well. He's been giving very little away. And you know, you couple that with his mental and his ability to compete, his competitive nature, you know, he's raising the bar this year. He really is. And there is some talk, I must say, certainly around the media tables and around the tour, that he could well go on to eclipse Federer's number of majors. You know, it wouldn't be a surprise. I think he's on 8 now. If you know, he's 27. I think it's his birthday today, 28. He's at the peak of his powers right now. You know, if you're looking at the next 2 or 3 years, he's collecting 2 or 3 majors at a go. It wouldn't be surprising if he came very close to Federer's haul of major wins.
To what do you attest his incredible improvement this season when you compare it to last season, Nick? Is there something that you can pinpoint?
That's a tough question. I'm not really sure. I think he just, you know, I think in his own personality, he's just a guy that looks to improve. I had a really fascinating conversation last week in Rome with his physio, a guy called Milan Amidovic, who's been with him since 2007. And we were just chatting away, and we were talking about Djokovic as a whole and his personality. And we said, you know, and he said, it's all down to him. He said, every bit of this success comes from him. He leaves nothing to chance. Scheduling has been great this year, Dave, as well. You know, obviously, he was able to take a break, having won in Monte Carlo. He had a really tough schedule because he played Davis Cup. He then won Indian Wells, Miami, Monte Carlo. That was a very long stretch. Took a 3-week break, had Madrid off, which was smart, and then came back in Rome. To answer your question directly, I don't think there's been that many improvements. I just think he continues to improve it. You know, every aspect of his game. There's not a lot more he can build on, really. And guys haven't found a way to beat him this year. I think in many ways, you certainly are relying on him dropping his level. Obviously, there is the unknown factor of the mental side, having never won at Roland Garros, and the pressure that brings. And the more years that go on, that's going to increase, because this is the one major missing from his CV. But as I've said to you before, I will be flabbergasted if this guy hangs up his rackets and doesn't win the French Open. Certainly the way he's playing, and with Nadal not at his best this year, this is by far and away his best opportunity.
Rafael Nadal is still second favourite, Nick, here with William Hill. 7-2, Rafael Nadal. It's still one of the most amazing statistics in world sport that he's only ever been beaten once at Roland Garros. But defending his title this year could be his biggest ever test. He seems to have lost his mojo recently, Rafael Nadal, Nick. He was dismantled by Andy Murray in the final in Madrid, lost to Stanislas Wawrinka in Rome. He seems to be struggling with his game at the moment.
Big time. Yeah, big time, Dave. That's a pretty big understatement, I think, as well. And, you know, he's changed rackets. He's tried to change the racket. He fiddled about with a new racket in Monte Carlo because, obviously, there were concerns about the way he was playing. That didn't work out either. He went back to his original frame last week in Madrid. It's the first time ever he comes into Roland Garros having not won a European clay court title. You know, players like Fabio Fognini have beaten him twice this year on this surface, Dave. And you're absolutely right. He's in some ways... I hate to use the phrase all over the place, but he is. He's going into Roland Garros with an empty bank of confidence, and that's something that we just haven't seen from him before. I don't think he's really picked up where he left off last year with the injuries. He's not really got going. You know, if you delve a little deeper, Dave, into the numbers and the stats of his year so far, there is one glaring statistic that stands out, and that is his break point conversion rate. Key moments like breakpoint chances when he has them. And this year, in his last six defeats, Dave, he's down at 19% of his breakpoint chances that he's taking. Now, obviously, you're getting a little complex with figures there, but that what really shows is that on the big moments when he has opportunities to break, he's not taking them. And matches are getting away from him as a result. Confidence is draining. And he's, you know, there's many things. He's dropping the ball too short. His backhand is not where it was a couple of years ago. His forehand's not as penetrating. He's missing. I mean, in the final in Madrid against Murray, the last couple of points in the last couple of games were just staggering. I mean, he missed by 6 or 7 feet. You know, head-scratching misses he's making. And people are chipping away. And the more that players are chipping away at him, they're knocking his confidence. And they're also gaining belief that they can beat him on this surface. And the draw has thrown up, obviously, this morning. We'll talk about it in a minute. But the draw has now thrown him up with a potential quarterfinal with Djokovic. And to be honest, I think Djokovic will pretty happy about that. I think he'd rather play Nadal early than later and try and get him in the quarterfinals. So, obviously, Nadal's got to get there first. But Nadal is significantly off from where he has been in recent years.
You obviously travel with the tour numerous weeks every single season, Nick. What's the feeling regarding Nadal? Is there a sense that he can... rededicate his life to the game of tennis and maybe achieve what he's once achieved in the past? Or do you think this decline will be continuous from now until the end of his career?
You know, I think to answer that question, I think I probably have to look at the younger generation. I'd like to see more of the younger generation being able to come through and ask more questions. And right now, that's just not happening on a regular basis. You have to remember that Nadal didn't play the second half of last year. So he took pretty much 6 months off from the summer towards the World Tour Finals. So as far as points go to defend, he's got nothing coming off after Roland Garros. So I think we'll see him probably back in the top six, top five by the end of the year. Whether or not he can once again challenge to be a world number one, I'm not sure. Obviously, he's just gone through what should be his best part of the season, and he's struggled. Listen, with Nadal, obviously, the way his career's panned out and the competitive nature he's always shown, I don't think you can ever say he's finished. But of course, the physical toll that takes on his body, the way he each and every day expends so much energy in practice and on the match court, it is a major concern. I think, you know, I'd like to see him play Djokovic in the quarterfinals to get there, to have a real go again and really see if Djokovic can make that breakthrough. But I think we'll see Nadal in the top five come the end of the year. And I'm not sure his days of winning majors are over. I just think it is a mini crisis. Players have been there before. Let's be honest, it's a very similar situation to what Federer went through 4 or 5 years ago. You know, we had the conversation many times about how Federer's career was finished and he was going the wrong way. And I think it's too early to write Nadal off, but he's certainly got some work to do.
Andy Murray is 9-1 third favourite here with William Hill for the French Open. And Nick, he's been a revelation on clay this season. 10-0 on the surface, and he's performed brilliantly ever since he got married, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know what that says. He certainly was a good advert for that, obviously. Playing Munich was very smart. To go and play a minor 250 event to get that monkey off the back, I think, to be able to say, look, you know, let's get the first win on clay under our belt. You know, first player since 1979, Buster Mottram was the last British player to win a title on clay. So he got that monkey off the back, played a really good final against Philipp Kohlschreiber. I think, to be honest, that match was one of the best matches we've seen all year. 3 hours and 5 minutes, I think it was, to beat Kohlschreiber. Then went straight into Madrid, as you say, where it is a bit quicker. And that suits Murray. Murray doesn't mind the ball flying around a bit. Played very well all week there, came through some tough matches again, and then duffed up Nadal. I mean, who had that one down? I mean, it was, you know, Nadal obviously looked to be coming good in Madrid, had a really good win against Burdick. And then Murray was able to play well. I think a couple of factors in his game. He's definitely taking the second serve on a lot more this year, Dave. He's much more aggressive off the second serve, which is, again, something people have been asking him to do for quite a while. And he's a fine clay court player. Let's not forget he's made the semifinals of the French on two different occasions. So it's not as if he's a complete rookie on this surface. He's just got a lot of confidence about him. Did go to Rome last week, played one match there, played a great match against Shardy, and then very wisely, I think, decided to pull the plug, get fresh for this. I know for a fact that he went to Roland Garros on Sunday for a full week's preparation, and I think that really tells you how serious he is about feeling he can win this tournament. And make no mistake about it, Murray feels he can win Roland Garros. There is no doubt about it. And obviously with Mauresmo, he's now got Jonas Björkman working with him as well, because Mauresmo being pregnant, she'll hang it up in a 2 or 3 weeks' time and it'll be over to Jonas Björkman. He's a very calming influence, is Björkman. Murray's in a good place right now, Dave, no doubt. I think for me, probably almost as close to the form that he won Wimbledon and the Olympics a couple of summers ago. And he's going to be a major contender here. He has landed, I have to say, in a somewhat tough section of the draw. But again, we'll get to that in a moment, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's talk about the draw, because we have been through the big three in inverted commas, those at single figure prices in the betting here with William Hill. And they're all in the same side of the draw, Nick, which will frustrate a few, not only bettors, but a few neutrals as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it does leave, I think from an each way perspective when you're betting, Dave, it probably leaves a nice little potential for a wager down the bottom half. That's the one way I would look at it,
yeah.
Because there are a couple of names in the bottom half. If I throw them at you now, Nishikori potentially as an each way bet to come through that bottom half or certainly win that section. Also in the bottom half, obviously Federer's there. I really don't see Federer winning this tournament. So again, you look at players that could make a difference. Gael Monfils stands out for me down there. Always played well at the French Open, Dave.
50-1, Gael Monfils.
Yeah, exactly. Played very well in Monte Carlo a couple of weeks ago. You always have the concern with Monfils of injury just around the corner. And is he going to be dialed in? But he has been dialed in at the French. So again, looking at a couple of each-way bets there. I really like Stan Wawrinka as well. Played very well last week in Rome. He's had, again, it's been an all-or-nothing season for Wawrinka. He's played great in Rome last week and then didn't show up against Federer in the semi-finals. But I think if he can get going, Wawrinka has the firepower for me to beat anyone. And I've said this before, and he's in Federer's section. So if he can come through there, I think those two names from an each-way perspective, Nishikori and Wawrinka, will be the two names that I'll be looking to come through that bottom half if Federer doesn't, and I don't think Federer will. So from an each-way perspective, I think there's some value in the bottom half. Top half, obviously, you're looking at a Djokovic-Nadal quarterfinal. I think given 4-5 being the price on Djokovic at the start of the tournament, not sure I'd be looking at that early. I think I'd want to see him get past Nadal first and then see where he is from there. I quite like David Ferrer as well, actually, to come through. Again, purely from a betting perspective, I think in the men's half, you know, I like to look at the bets that to win your quarter. Now, if I'm looking at each quarter of the draw here, Ferrer down the bottom section of the top half, for me, should cruise through to the quarterfinals, I think, given who's in that section. Then you're looking at him only winning one match, possibly against Murray. And yes, Murray's playing well. But again, I think Ferrer maybe a little bit of each way value possibly to win his quarter there. But you're right, it's top half loaded. Djokovic, obviously the standout name. With Murray just behind him there.
Superb. Novak Djokovic 5-6, Rafael Nadal 7-2, Andy Murray 9-1, Roger Federer 11-1, Kai Nishikori is 12, Stanislas Wawrinka 20-1, Thomas Burdick is 25, David Ferrer 50-1, Gael Monfils 50-1, and it's 66-1 and bigger the remainder. If you're looking at some real rags here, Nick, some guys that maybe could progress through the first couple of rounds, just throw a couple of names at me away from the really big names in the draw.
I like Dominic Thiem. I like his progress in recent weeks. He's come on a lot. He's in the semifinals today in Nice playing some great tennis. I think he's one that potentially could go well in the early stages, certainly of the opening rounds. Fabio Fognini obviously played great again last week in Rome. He's beaten Nadal twice on this surface. Always have a slight concern over five sets, but again, could face Thomas Burdick in the third round. So I'll be looking at Fognini maybe sneaking through there and making the round of 16. And a couple of younger names. Obviously, you know, there's some young names that, you know, we have four teenagers, Dave, in the top 100 for the very first time in 9 years. That's a significant number. It's been a good year for the teenagers. Kokkinakis, Chorich, Zverev has come through. There's some good young players coming through to watch out for. But I think, to answer your question, I quite like the way Dominic Thiem's progressing at the moment. He's certainly playing well. And as I say, John Isner's another name. Look out for John Isner playing well. He's in a much better headspace than he was a couple of months ago. Good draw as well. You know, good draw. He's got Seppi in the first round, then Shardy. Wouldn't be surprised to see Isner go well in the early stages. So I think those certainly couple of names would also be ones to look out for me.
Kokkinakis has been doing a little bit of work with Andy Murray, hasn't he, on the practice courts?
Yeah, well, they played doubles together in Indian Wells. Murray's always made a habit, Dave, of looking after the young guys. He's, for some reason, he almost sees himself as like a father figure, and he's good like that. He helps the younger guys out, plays doubles with them. And yeah, he played doubles with Kokkinakis and has been practicing with him quite a lot. So yeah, I think he won a challenger actually last week, Kokkinakis in Bordeaux, a big challenger in the south of France. So another good player, and has got a wild card here this week.
Just summarise your thoughts then on the men's side before we head and look at the women's.
For me, it's got to be Djokovic's year to win it, Dave. I think I might have said that last year, but again, you have the situation this year where Nadal obviously isn't the same form. He is head and shoulders above everyone else right now. I think the semi-final lineup for me is going to be a Djokovic-Murray semi-final in the top half. I think the bottom half, I'm going to go for either Nishikori to face possibly Nishikori or... I'm going to throw my hat out here. I'm going to go Nishikori-Vavrinka semi-final in the bottom half.
Superb. And if you're looking for an each-way bet, you'd be looking for someone in that
bottom half. I think Stan at 20-1 is not a bad each-way bet. I think either be Nishikori or Vavrinka. I think the each way, if you're going to go each way, you've got to go bottom half, because I don't see Federer going particularly deep here. So I think you take him out of the draw. Bottom half looks open. And I think Nishikori or Vavrinka or each way to get to the final, I think could be a bit of value there.
Superb. Thank you, Nick. Let's turn our attentions to the women's side. And Serena Williams is the 11-4 favourite. Maria Sharapova is 9-2. Simona Halep is 9-2. Victoria Azarenka, 8-1. Petra Kvitova is 10s. Carla Suarez Navarro and Caroline Wozniacki and Garbine Muguruza all 16-1, and it's 20-1 and bigger the remainder. Serena Williams, 11-4 favourite here with William Hill for the French, Nick. She's only won this slam the twice. She looks an opposable favourite to me. She was beaten by Petra Kvitova in Madrid, pulled out in Rome. What's the state of her game at the moment?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I have to say, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have said she's an opposable favourite 4 weeks ago when she was unbeaten. But I would certainly agree with you that things have changed in the last couple of weeks. She very nearly lost to Azarenka in Madrid, went three sets there, was match points, three or four match points down, was able to turn it round. And then, as you say, Kvitova duffed her up, I think, in the semi-finals pretty comfortably. And then last week pulled out. So it's a little difficult to say where she is. She has a difficult part of the draw. Again, I certainly would say that, because she could face Azarenka in the third round. Where's her game at right now? Well, I think you have to say it's in a pretty good place, Dave. I don't think we should perhaps overreact to a couple of just the one defeat, and that's all it is, you know, to Kvitova. Obviously, last week, having withdrawn with an elbow injury. Again, you never quite know with Serena, because she has made a fairly regular habit of pulling out of events, perhaps as a precautionary tale. So clay is always going to be tough for her, because, you know, the ball will slow down. And if it is slow conditions, if it is heavy and cold like it could be in the first week, it's going to be tough. You know, last year, you remember, she lost to Muguruza in the second round there, a player that could match her with firepower. So this will always be the toughest major for her in, because it nullifies her serve. It nullifies her aggressive game style. I am concerned about her facing Azarenka in the third round here, because that's a very rough draw. Azarenka's coming back to form, definitely on an upward curve. So I think you're probably right. I think I'd have to lean with you. I certainly wouldn't be touching 11-4 right now on Serena Williams. I think I'd want to see how she goes through the first couple of rounds.
Maria Sharapova is 9-2, the defending champion. And the demands of this slam, Nick, really suit her game perfectly, and her mentality as well. She is the ultimate grinder.
Yeah, she's just tough, Dave. That's just the one word you describe her. She's just tough. You know, she's as tough as anyone else. And she's got a phenomenal record here. I mean, obviously, I think finals the last 3 years, I want to say, certainly. Obviously, you know, for me, I'll never forget the way she came through a couple of years ago to win here. Was it last year, I think, in those three sets in the last three rounds? she's as tough as they come, and she comes in good form. Obviously, having she won Rome last week, playing very well. Tough final against Carla Suarez-Navarro, who's made huge strides this year as Suarez-Navarro. So Sharapova with a fine win there, coming from a set down as well. Pretty good draw. Again, if you're looking at her draw, slightly concerned to see Sam Stosur's name in there, because even though Stosur's not done anything this year, she's actually won a few matches this week and is in the semi-finals today in Strasbourg. So Stosur's a fine clay court player, so she could trouble Sharapova. But I would much rather be on the price as Sharapova is from the off than I would be Serena Williams, David. I think, obviously, from a betting perspective, that's what you've got to ask yourself, isn't it? So Sharapova, you know, for me, is at least an equal favourite with Serena Williams. So I think there has to be some value there.
Yeah, I agree. Simona Halep is the 9-2, is also 9-2, same price as Maria Sharapova. Does she deserve to be the same price as Maria Sharapova, though? I love her game. She's obviously immensely talented. Finalist here last year as well. But her clay court form this season leaves maybe a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's not just her clay court form in general, is it? It's her form as a whole. I mean, she was able to come back and win Indian Wells, but again, if you look at her results in recent weeks, Dave Halep, she made the semis in Rome last week, lost to Carla Suarez-Navarro, 7-5 in the third. She lost to Cornet in the first round of Madrid and made the semis in Stuttgart, lost to Wozniacki. So I think probably the best way to describe her form has been solid without being spectacular, Halep. And again, you always, for me, have to ask yourself, she's yet to win a major title. Is she going to be able to win a major title at this stage of her career? I thought she was ready to do it in Australia and then bombed out to Sibulkova, I think in the quarterfinals or the round of 16, which was a major surprise. Darren Cahill has been working extremely hard with Halep. He's one of the most well-respected and coaches on tour. In fact, he was in Romania last week, I know, spending 3 or 4 days with her, perhaps to get her mind in the right place. And again, you know, you have to go back to the draw to take a look at her section of the draw. She could face Sharapova maybe in the semi-finals there. Anna Ivanovic is in that little section there. For me, not a huge amount to be of a concern of, certainly for the first week. So yeah, it's, you know, there's still a question mark by her, Dave. That's what I would say. She hasn't proved in a major that she can step up and go one step further. Does she believe in herself enough? I think the game's there. She's certainly not, but she doesn't have the firepower of the others. But she's such a cerebral player, and clay will always be her surface, I think, her best surface.
Sorry, Nick. Yeah. I was just going to say, she's the sort of player that, if you're thinking about it from a betting perspective, at these sorts of prices, when she's priced up at exactly the same price as Sharapova, you'd rather see her win one before you got stuck in at those sort of prices, in my opinion.
Definitely. And I think as well, you know, if you've seen the way she's playing coming into the tournament, let's say she gets to the final and she faces, for example, a Serena Williams or an Azarenka in the final, I think it's going to be such a tight market betting-wise. I'd probably want to be on her then. I need to see her progress well and play well through the early stages before I'm putting my money down on her. Because, as you say, you know, she hasn't won a major. Obviously, that's still a concern. She hasn't won that many big tournaments either, to be honest, Dave. Obviously, winning Indian Wells was a big one. But she hasn't been a consistently a really big-time player going deep every single week. And her form has been scratchy. So you put those things together. For me, I'm opposing her at the moment.
Victoria Azarenka's in the betting at 8-1, Nick. Not played a lot of clay court tennis. She's actually had quite a light schedule, Victoria Azarenka. Best finish here was a semi-final appearance in 2013. Maybe not the slam that suits her best.
No, probably exposes her movement, I would say, more than anything else. Obviously, players are able to turn her around, and she does struggle a little bit with movement-wise. Again, she likes to play one-strike tennis. She likes to be aggressive. She likes to dominate points. Doesn't really want to be grinding away with players who are able to make a lot of balls, cook the ball deep, force her back behind the baseline. All those sorts of things are not conducive to her playing her best tennis. But she has played pretty well coming in. And I think having certainly had that break last year with the injuries and reassessing her life for various different things that went on off the court, she's in a pretty good place right now. She's working with Wim Fossette, who worked with Halep last year, took Halep to the final here a year ago, lost to Sharapova last week, Serena in Madrid. So, you know, you've got to look at the players. I always like to look at the players that have beating the players we're talking about. Now, she's only lost to the very elite in the last couple of weeks. So that tells you a lot, I think, about where she is. And it is fascinating that she's playing or could face Serena Williams in the third round here. You know, she plays Tora Flo in the first round, should get through there, and then it'll be a Serena in the third round. So, again, from an each-way perspective, Dave, I think, you know, I'd be quite willing to take a punt here on Azarenka. If she can beat Serena Williams in the third round, I wouldn't be surprised to see her in the final at all. So, I think you know, you're taking a chance on her beating effectively one player in that top half of the draw to make the final. And at that sort of price, I think it's probably worth a punt.
Yeah, I do. Azarenka 8-1 to win the French Open. And let's just have a quick word on Petra Kvitova as well, because she's a 10-1 shot for the French Open here with William Hill. Last year's Wimbledon winner. And she's got the game to take it away from anyone else, but maybe not on this surface. This is probably the weakest of her surfaces.
Yeah, I mean, very much what we said about Azarenka, you can say about Kvitova. Kind of burst through the field in Madrid, won Madrid in such impressive style. I mean, she beat Serena Williams 2-3, and then Kuznetsova 1-2 in the final, in the semi and the final in Madrid. And we talked about conditions being pretty quick in Madrid, where the balls do fly around. It is at altitude. Now, last week, she wasn't able to back it up in Rome, lost to Carla Suarez Navarro. So clay will always be an uphill struggle for Kvitova. I'm not sure that she's got the ability to win 7 straight matches on clay against the best players in the world. It's always tough with her because, again, you're so reliant on her state of mind, her confidence levels, because she plays such an aggressive brand of tennis that if she's hot, she's very tough to stop. But again, if it is a bit slower and a bit heavier and the weather's not great, that's not going to be helpful for her. She wants it warm. And again, these are the sorts of things from a betting perspective that I talk about. You have to look at the conditions. If it's going to be a hot day, a warm day where the balls are going to fly around, yes, that's going to help Kvitova because, you know, she's going to be able to keep the point a bit shorter. So again, for me, I certainly wouldn't be laying money down right now on her, but I want to see how she goes through the early couple of rounds and look at conditions and maybe go from there. I don't see her winning the tournament, Dave. No, it's to answer your question, but maybe a quarter or a semi is very possible.
Any other names worthy of mention?
Plenty. I mean, I quite like the way Sloane Stephens is playing at the moment. She's beginning to just sort of come under the radar a little bit, had a good week this week. She plays Venus Williams in the first round.
That's a belter, isn't it, really?
It is, and it'd be interesting to see how that's priced up, because I would certainly be leaning with Sloane there. I think there possibly could be some value on Sloane Stephens. Venus, obviously now in her mid-30s, she's playing okay and she's had a good year, but I like the way Sloane's playing again. She's much more focused and disciplined on what's going on in her head. So I quite like Sloane Stephens to maybe beat Venus in that first round and then possibly sneak through to maybe a round of 16 against either Serena or Azarenka. Got to like Carla Suarez Navarro. Into the top 10 for the first time in her career. Fantastic clay court player. Unique game in that her game is so conducive to playing on clay. She hits a high ball with a lot of spin. Has caused a lot of trouble for some very fine players on this surface. So I like Carla Suarez Navarro. Great record here at Roland Garros as well, Dave. I think she's made round of 16, quarterfinals, and maybe even the semifinals last year, or perhaps one less quarterfinals. But she's consistently got better over her career. So Suarez, just what's her price, Suarez Navarro?
16-1 it is, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, each way. Again, a great each way bet at 16-1. I think I'd be definitely in her camp. Looking at her section, again, she potentially could face Cornet in the third round. Nothing to worry about there for me. Radvanska's not in form. She's in her section. Ivanovic isn't in form. She's in her section. So Carla Suarez Navarro, definitely a big plus for me there. A couple of names that are struggling at the moment. Anna Ivanovic is not playing well. I'd certainly lean away from her. Caroline Garcia, one to watch as well. Keep an eye on her in the early rounds. 31 seed. I think I'm running and saying the first time she's been seeded at a major, Caroline Garcia. So definitely one to watch, the French player. So those two. So I think Stevens, Carlos Suarez Navarro, and Caroline Garcia might be my three outsiders to keep an eye on.
Superb. Just summarise then, Nick, your expectations in the women's side of the draw.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Sharapova. I think Sharapova's proved to be coming in with the best form, despite a couple of shaky weeks. She won last week, seemed to have got her mojo back. Record speaks for itself here. So I'm going for a Sharapova, maybe Azarenka final. Obviously, that third round's going to determine quite a lot, with Carla Suarez Navarro as my wild card. But I think Sharapova to win it, with perhaps Suarez Navarro as the wild card.
Superb. So if we are looking at a Sharapova Novak Djokovic double, Sharapova 9-2 to win on the women's side, and Novak Djokovic in the betting at 5-6, 9.08-1 if you fancy those two, Sharapova 9-2 and Djokovic at 5-6. Thank you for your company, Nick, and I look forward to catching up with you as the 2 weeks progress at Roland Garros.
Pleasure, Dave. Look forward to it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.